It's funny because we've been talking about prayer like all summer long, and as today was kind of has been kind of unfolding for us, like, you know, the number of prayers and the amount of prayers and the length of prayer and kind of working through all that are being answered for our family today. There's a little bit where it reminds me of there's a movie in 2021 called Yesterday. Did anybody see that movie? With Jennifer Garner, and she is the mom in this family, and her husband are just say no to everything. Their kids are like, hey, can we do this? No, you know maybe it was not enough money, maybe it was not enough time, maybe it was the wrong thing. There's just bad time. There's all these different elements, and whenever things came up, they were just like, no, we can't do that, we can't do that, we can't do that, and so. They're beginning to have some trouble with some of their kids in school, and the counselor's like, well, maybe you just give them a yes day. And they're like, what's a yes day? A day when you just say yes to any of the things they ask for. Now, and then they're like, what? Well, okay, of course, yeah, you're gonna have some boundaries, there's gonna be certain things they can't do, you know, hey, let's go rob a bank. No, we can't do that. You can't break the law, you can't do this, can't do that. And so they decide, okay, we're going to have this day. We're going to choose this day to give, to say yes to whatever our kids' wildest requests are. And so it leads to parents dressing up in some crazy outfits. It leads to them having this huge Sunday eating competition. It even leads them to driving the car through the car wash with the windows down. Yeah, I might have drawn the line there. That's something that might ruin things, but it's a movie, right? Because the car's not going to do anything anyway. And so there's this collection of events that, you know, a water balloon fight with friends and neighbors with Kool-Aid filled balloons. And of course it ends with a trip to Six Flags, right? And all happens in one movie filled day, which we all know that movie days last approximately 43 and a half hours, right? Because you're watching this and you're going, there's no way this happens in 24 hours. You know, like, did anyone watch 24 when it was on? And like each episode was supposed to be like 1 hour in a day. And it's like, that was at least 90 minutes. You can't get from there to there in LA in 5 minutes time. You know, if you're traveling from here to here in LA, you don't see that character the rest of the show. Right, that character is not coming back the rest of this episode. But then you see him do, like, yeah, you know, unless you're like taking a helicopter across LA, that's not happening. And so it all fills up in this one day, and they have this amazing day. I know families who have given their kids yes days. Like I said, there are rules and there are boundaries. And, hey, there's certain things we can and can't do. It begins to be this thing that where anything inside these boundaries is fair game. And I begin to wonder, I think that's how God operates with us. I think that's how God operates with us. When we read scripture, he gives us boundaries, right? There are certain boundaries. This is good, this is sin. But there are some who tend to think God's backyard is shaped about the size of my Bible, right? This is all the stuff that is good. And anything outside of this is bad. And so we have to stand right here in this little patch. Otherwise, we're in the wrong. But really, if you read scripture correctly, God's backyard is huge. It is. I mean, there are fences, right? Hey, don't cross this line. Don't go across that place. Don't go beyond that. But it's not one square foot. It's like a bajillion square feet. There's acres and acres and acres of things that we can do that are within God's will, that God wants to say yes to. I think that's how God gives us all this yes, but we tend to play around all the no's, right? He's like, this is good, this is right, this is pleasing, but this is sin. Anything in this is good and fair game. But too often we deviate into sin, and God can't bless sin. So what were the resources in the movie to provide all the things for the yes day? It's mom and dad, right? It was their bank account. It was their willingness. It was their initiative. It was them putting the things together, put all the pieces together to accomplish all that. But what is the source for every good yes in our life? It's God, right? David quoted James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. David said this, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And some people are like, well, my desire is that there be no more famine. That there be no more war, that there be no more disease, that there be no more atrocities in our world. Shouldn't these things on? I want all my hurts and heartaches to end. God, I want God to make me rich, right? We want all these things from God. I'm like, why doesn't God give me these things? It's the desire of my heart. And see, I believe it's God's desire that we are all blessed in some form or fashion, right? Doesn't necessarily mean we're all going to be rich, but we're going to be blessed living in his righteousness. That he would desire for us to all live together in peace and harmony. That it is his desire that the world will be made right again. And at the end of time, he will come down and he will set the world right. But God can't give us what is sin. So the question for the day is, how do we balance the yes of God with the holiness and the character of God? As we approach him in prayer, how do we balance the yes of God with the holiness and the character of God? Because it's in that place, it is in the meeting of those two circles where we find what God will say yes to. What God most wants for us. And so for that, we must turn to John 15, 1 through 8. And we're going to find Jesus. He's in the upper room. And, you know, so I always like preaching these kind of texts right after we've celebrated communion. And so we've already kind of had this upper room moment. And Jesus has likely already celebrated the Passover with his disciples. Judas has left. There they are in the upper room. And he is pouring out his heart to them. There's Jesus. He knows that he's just hours away from being arrested, from being tried, from being crucified. He's just got a few more hours before he dies for us, before the supper that he just initiated kind of goes into effect. That all begins to go into play. And so he is pouring out himself. He's sharing his deepest feelings for them. He's saying, I'm going to go away. But when I leave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you. I may not be present, but my presence will be with you. And so, like I said, Judas has left, and so he's speaking to those who will remain. And he says, here's how you stay connected to me. To do so, he uses a common imagery of the time. He says this, I am the vine, and you and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that will be even more fruitful. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus uses this metaphor. It was such a powerful metaphor to the nation of Israel. They even had it imprinted on their coins during the time of the Maccabees. This picture of a vine. You know, it would be like us talking about an eagle. Because the eagle is kind of a symbol of our country. The vine, for at least a period of time, was a symbol of Israel. God calls Israel a vine and a vineyard in Isaiah chapter 11. And so Jesus calls back to that, and he says, just such a, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He says, here's this picture. There's a vine and there's a gardener. The vine's job is to produce grapes, right? If you go to a vineyard, you expect the vines to produce grapes. And if, in the right season, you go and you can just see these grapes just filling the vine, just weighing them down. And the gardener, the vine's job is to produce grapes. The gardener's job is to put the vine in the best position to produce grapes, right? And maybe you go to one of our local orchards and pick apples or get fresh fruits and vegetables. The farmer doesn't grow the crop. His job is to put the trees and the bushes and the shrubs and the vines and whatever the actual plant name is, to put it in the best position to produce the greatest crop. So maybe it's some fertilizer. Maybe it's some sort of pesticide or something to keep the bugs away. Or maybe it's make sure there's proper watering, and or make sure it's doing some other things to keep other pests away, and to watch the crop so that it's all picked at the right time. So the best quality produce, the best quality fruit can get out there. Jesus, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. And what he does is he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit, because a grapevine will only produce fruit where there is new wood. And so you don't, you know, maybe you have some trees at home and you have, you know, some branches are in full leaf and it's beautiful, and you're like, that branch there is dead. You know, it's just kind of hanging out there. And maybe it's just out of reach, and you're like, well, the next storm will knock it out. I'll just wait for it to fall down. But maybe it's within reach, and maybe it's kind of making the tree ugly. Maybe you need to cut that out so that you can shape and beautify the tree. And so if you can get to it, you kind of get to it, right? You get to it, and you cut it out, and you take it away so that the tree can spend all of its energy producing good branches, good leaves, good fruit, whatever it is that's on there. And so the gardener comes along at the end of each season. He cuts off all the little places where the grapes have grown, so that you're not just producing longer wood there. You're going to create this new spot where new wood can grow, new grapes can come in the next season. At the same time, though, the gardener's looking at it and goes, man, this branch didn't produce any grapes at all this year. And so rather than keep it around, he might cut off that branch. They're praising Jesus over in Kingdom Kids today. You may not have heard it online. We all heard it here. It was awesome. And so, and it sounded like mine. And so, he would cut off that branch so that that branch no longer is taking up energy that can produce better grapes somewhere else. Because my Father, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. Any branch that remains in me will produce fruit. All the energy of the vine wants to go to the place where it's going to best produce grapes. The branch wants to continue to make grapes, continue to bear your fruit. It has to stay connected to the vine. You can't cut that branch off, and that branch is going to be over here going, hey, I'm going to go off and do my own thing. I'm going to produce grapes over here. No, that branch has to stay connected to the vine if it wants to produce grapes. So Jesus then takes this picture. He takes this metaphor one step further, right? We all know how it goes. You guys could probably quote it before I even put it up there. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. So now we've fleshed out this picture a little more. We have a gardener who is God the Father. He is there. He's watching over the vine. His job is to put the vine in the best position to produce the most grapes. There is a vine. This is Jesus. He is the source from which these grapes will grow. But the vine, the stalk of the vine, that's not where you find the grapes. You find the grapes on the branches. Who are the branches? That's us. And so picture this vineyard. And there's little pockets of Jesus all over the place, right? Yeah, we have one here in Hagerstown. You think of all of our home churches, wherever we came from, wherever we grew up. Think of churches that our family and friends go to in other places, in other cities. There's little pockets of Jesus. So there's a little vine there and branches going out. And as we're there, wherever we are planted, wherever we are connected to Jesus, there we are to produce grapes. We produce fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Notice, this is a conditional statement. Parents, we're familiar with this, right? If you clean your room, we will go get ice cream. Most kids here, we will go get ice cream, right? And no. Ice cream is not a given. First, we must clean our room, do our homework, whatever this thing. If this, then that, right? If this is, and so Jesus says, if you remain in me. So there's no guarantee that we remain in Jesus. There's no guarantee that we remain. It is a choice. It is conditional. Are we going to choose to remain in Jesus? Because if we do, Jesus says, I will remain in you, and then you will bear much fruit. Now, apart from me, he says, you can do nothing, right? So if you try to go and do your own thing on your own, unconnected to me, there will be no fruit in your life. We'll get to that in a little bit. He says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. See, the key to bearing fruit is in the remaining. That word remain, if you read through that yourself, you'll see remain said time and time again. Remain in me, I in you. Remain, remain, remain. That word remain means steadfast, to endure, to stay in force. And so I get this picture that in good times or bad, the instrument comes our way, we are to stay connected. So Jesus uses a very simple word to communicate a big idea that will become even more important here in a few minutes. Like I said, we have this choice, right? We have this choice to remain. And so as I was writing, as I was thinking about this, all of a sudden I had this picture come to mind. And sometimes my brain just kind of goes down some crazy rabbit holes. And I began to give thoughts and feelings and emotions to branches and leaves. Now, this summer, in the last few weeks, we've had some pretty significant storms come through the area, right? It's like, man, like we don't often hear thunder here. But occasionally here in the last couple months, we've heard thunder. And it's like, as a Midwestern boy, I like hearing me some thunder. And so these storms will come through, and maybe your yard is like mine. All of a sudden, you'll see leaves and branches down in the yard because of the trees that are around. And so I picture it something like this. You have this tree, and you have these branches and leaves, and the storm picks up, and the wind's howling, the wind's blowing, and the branches going, I'm trying to hold on here, right? And the leaf is like, I'm holding on the best I can. And so they're all there. And then, but finally it's like, I can't hold on anymore. Oh no. And they're, I'm just going to go. And they fall away, right? Welcome to my world. And so, like, what kind of bedtime stories did you tell your kids when they were younger? No wonder they didn't sleep. But they had, you know, it's like a good Pixar movie, right? I mean, you know, Pixar, you know, let's give bugs thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Let's give vehicles thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Let's give emotions thoughts, feelings, and emotions. I mean, sometimes you just, you know, sometimes it's fun just to like go through life like it's a Pixar movie. So this branch is like, but the branch has to remain in the vine, no matter what storms may come, no matter how the winds may blow. And we've seen friends, all of a sudden, you know, life's too hard, and so they give up. And there's some of us who are like, I don't know how I'd make it through life if I wasn't holding on to the vine. And Jesus says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. It may come slowly, but if we remain connected, bearing fruit is guaranteed. If we remain connected, bearing fruit is guaranteed. It's promised. We got to remain. It may come slow. It may come fast and furious. But if we hold on, if we remain consistent, if we remain constant, if we remain, if we endure, if we hold fast, we stay in force. I kind of love that one. Like just holding, you can almost say like white knuckling it sometimes, because sometimes living with Jesus is like white knuckling it, right? I'm just got to hold on tight. We remain bearing fruit is guaranteed. Jesus said, remain in me and I'll remain in you, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And sometimes we read that and go, that's kind of harsh, right? Like are the only people who are doing good in the world Christians? You know, I did stuff, did good stuff before I was a Christian. Maybe you're like, man, I did some good stuff before I was a Christian. There are some pretty smart people who don't know Jesus. There are some pretty ingenious people who even stand against Jesus. There are some people who are just like, yeah, meh, on Jesus. Who do some good stuff in our world. What does this mean? Well, they might be doing good stuff. They might have been doing some pretty amazing stuff. They might have been doing exactly what God has wired them to do. They might be doing stuff that benefits mankind and humanity wherever they are all across the world. But they're not bearing fruit, not because they're not doing good, but because they're not connected to Jesus. They're bearing fruit for themselves. They're bearing fruit. Look at me, look at me, look at how great, look how ingenious, look how wonderful I am. But God calls us to bear fruit to his glory. They're out making a name for themselves. And while it might help others, it doesn't help make Jesus known. So Jesus doesn't deny that other people can do good things, but he just says it's not bearing fruit because they aren't connected to him. Jesus says, these branches that are not bearing fruit, they'll be cut off, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, last night we had a nice cozy campfire that at the beginning was roaring hot. I mean, it was like, I'm trying to roast a hot dog like this. Like, am I surfing or am I roasting a hot dog? Trying to do a s'more without turning it into flambé was even more difficult. It was like, I'm trying to get just close enough to get it brown, and then finally it's like, yeah, it's just going to get torched. And so it became a little more flambé, and we blew it out, and it was. But Jeff created a good fire. There was a, you know, for our harvest party here in another month or so, that's going to be the fire we need to keep us warm in between hay rides, right? And so this is not a cozy campfire that you cuddle up by. This is a picture of judgment. We're going to pick up these branches that have not borne fruit. We're going to throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. This is a picture of judgment for those who lack fruit. What's the difference between the two branches? It's the connection that makes the difference. It's the connection that makes the difference. The one ended up being disconnected and did not bear fruit. If we're connected, we can't help but bear fruit. If we're connected, fruit will happen. But if we're not connected, we cannot bear fruit at all. And then there's this verse. Jesus says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Did Jesus just give us a yes day? Maybe you're sitting there going, man, God, I wish this was true in my life. That whatever I ask would be done. Yeah, and Jesus is like, this is true. All you have to do is ask, and he will say yes. And right, but it's not happened for me. I've prayed for this for years. I've prayed for that for years, and it's not happened. It can only happen, but there's this relationship that has to be there. We have to remain. You're like, Mike, I've been a Christian for years. I read my Bible every day. I'm in church as often as I can. We have to remember, he is the vine, and you are the branches. And out of that relationship, that is where the fruit will be born. Fruit that is in keeping with the character and the essence of God. So like I said, picture this. We're a part of this vineyard. If you go to a vineyard, you are not expecting to see oranges or apples or blueberries or strawberries, no matter how delicious and wonderful they are. When you go to a vineyard and you see all those vines growing, you are expecting to see grapes. So maybe what we're doing is God wants us to produce grapes, but we're asking about oranges. Oranges are good. Oranges are helpful. That vitamin C is wonderful. I like it squeezed into my glass on the daily. But maybe he's asking for grapes. He wants grapes. And we're like, whoa, but apples are good too, Jesus. So maybe we're missing. Maybe there's something in that relationship that we are just not asking correctly. So no matter what we ask of God, God will never produce oranges in us if we're designed to produce grapes. God is never going to do something that is inconsistent with his character and his integrity. And so maybe we say, it's easy for us to say, God, will you give me wealth? I mean, have you seen the inflation numbers? I could use a little more money at the end of the month. That month just runs too short for my paycheck. Can you give me some more money? But maybe God doesn't want to give us wealth. Maybe what God wants is to develop integrity inside of us. Maybe it would be like, God, I would love to be famous. I'd love to be known. I'd love to be looked up to by many. And what God says is, you don't need fame or to be known. What you need is to produce meaning in the world. Where you go, the things that you say, the things you do, that you bring meaning to those relationships. You bring thought, you help provide wisdom for people. You see, sometimes we get short-sighted. We only see the glamour. We only see the things that shine. And the question becomes, is it worth it? If we have to give up our character and our integrity, if we have to cut corners to get to the top. See, we need to remember that we are the branches. The branches don't get to decide what's produced in the vineyard. The branches' job is to remain connected to the vine. And if we remain connected, then and only then can we bear fruit. We are the vine, or we are the branches. He is the vine, and the Father is the gardener. We don't get to decide the fruit of the vineyard. The role of the branch is to produce fruit, the fruit that must reflect the gardener's intent. And sometimes we get that backwards. Sometimes we get that backwards. Sometimes we think, man, if I just obey enough, if I just do enough good things, if I can just balance out the good things or the bad things I've done, then possibly I can put God in my debt. If I just do enough good, then God will have to do what I want. If that was the case, I'm pretty sure we would have been celebrating my father-in-law's kidney and that possibly far earlier than today. That somehow we think, man, if I just do enough, I can hold God hostage to my desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God, I love you. I worship you. I praise you. God, give me what I want. That's not how it goes. Because God won't give us what doesn't give him glory. We can't put God in our debt. We can't hold him hostage. That's not what this verse is saying. See, we know we're connected to the vine. We know that we're connected to the primary source when the things we ask for begin to happen. Because we ask out of God's will. We ask out of his intention and his character. And I want to be so connected to God that whatever I ask God, he says yes, because it's right on what he wants. But I must confess, that's not always reality in my life. I'm going to guess if you're like me, that's not always reality in your life as well. One of my favorite preachers and authors, a guy named Erwin Manis, said this. He goes, I want to stop trying to make God do for me what I think God should do. I want to be so connected to the primary source of life that I can identify properly and say, God, this is what I want. And God says, I've been waiting for you to ask for that. God is so longing to say yes, but we keep chasing after other fruit. And we wonder, when we pray, why don't our prayers get answered the way we want? It's because maybe at that point, we're not as connected to God as we think. We're not as connected to him, and so we're asking for oranges when he wants grapes. We're asking for apples. He's like, no, I want grapes. And so we're not asking for bad things. No one's going, man, go blow that place up. No, we're not really asking for that. But what we're asking for may not be the thing that produces the most glory for God. Jesus says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What is to our Father's glory? Our connection to the primary source. He wants us to be so connected to him that whatever we ask for in his name, he will give to us because we are so close. We are so connected. We know what God wants for us. And he's just like, I'm just waiting for them to ask. And then I will pour out my blessing. I will work through them and they will bear so much fruit, they won't know what to do with it. This is to my Father's glory, that we remain connected, that we remain connected to the primary source, that we remain connected to the vine. The greater the connection, the greater the fruit. The greater the fruit, the greater the glory God receives. The greater the glory God receives, more branches are then connected to that vine to bear even more fruit for even more glory for God. See, there are some branches that are out there that aren't bearing any fruit because they aren't connected. And God's not yet throwing them into the fire. You look at Romans somewhere in the 9, 10, 11 section, because it's the kind of crazy section in between all the good news, bad news stuff in 1 through 8. And then it's before Jesus says, before Paul writes, that it's our spiritual act of worship to be changed and morphed and transformed into the image of God. And somewhere in the 9, 10, 11 passage, Paul talks about these wild olive branches. And that's any of us who are not Jewish, who are then grafted into the olive tree. To be like a grapevine, a grape branch being grafted into the vine. It's a different breed of grape. It's a different type of grape. We're gonna attach this and it's going to produce grapes as well. And so we know people who aren't connected to Jesus, who might be good people, who might be doing good things, but they aren't bearing fruit because they aren't connected to the primary source. See, it's the connection. It's the connection that bears fruit. It's a connection. It's our connection to the vine that drives us to prayer, that then produces greater fruit in our life. It's the connection that makes everything else happen. See, if you aren't connected to Jesus, you're probably not going to have the desire to pray. You may go, oh, well, universe, thank you for the food, right? You know, thank you for, you know, or maybe you can just pray generically, God, thank you for this that you've given me. God, give me a good night's sleep. Give me a raise. Give me. If you aren't connected, it's just kind of this generic prayer, right? But if you're connected, you can't help but want to pray. Because there's this communication, there's this connection with God the Father, with Jesus, that you just want to be there. And the more we grow in prayer, the greater the connection. The greater the connection, the greater the fruit we see. And the more fruit we produce, the greater glory God receives. Because without that connection, we can do nothing. Jesus said this earlier in their time together. They're there. He's like, hey, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come back and get you. Like, we don't know the way to get there. You know the way to get there. I am the way. And he says this. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Awesome, right? And they will do even greater things than these. Jesus said, we get to do greater things than he did. He walked on water. That's pretty fantastic. I who tries like every time they go to a swimming pool? I'm like, hey, maybe today's the day. Yeah. It's never worked. Gravity always pushes me to the bottom. Good thing I can swim. You know? I would love it if I could just take bread and some meat and pray and then have like a smorgasbord for my family. It hasn't worked yet. Because that's not what God's like, that's not how it works, bro, right? You will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I'm going to send my Spirit to you. And if you stay connected to me, you will produce fruit. It's the connection that drives prayer, that produces fruit. It's the connection that makes the difference. Our lives should be unexplainable proof of God. That there are things that should happen, that should be happening in our life that we look at and we go, I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough to do this. There ought to be things in our life that ought to surprise us. I can't believe that just happened. But if you look through your life and you can easily explain everything that happens, because of your intelligence, because of your talent, because of your capacity, because of your education, because of your abilities, that means the only source you're tapping into is you. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. Look at this. But if we can't explain the influence, the things that happen through us, because we're only tapping into what we can do. But I believe God wants something bigger for me. I believe God wants something bigger for you. But it only happens when we tap into the primary source, when we remain connected to the vine, and then he will unleash us to be more than we could ever hope or imagine. Because I don't want to be limited by my own capabilities. I want to be connected to the source that created the entire universe. And this only happens through prayer. As we meet with him, as we listen to him, as we sit at his feet and allow him to shape and change and mold us. So here's my challenge, is that we begin to connect with God through prayer so that he can unleash us to bear fruit for his glory. That maybe it would shape and change our prayers. Maybe our prayers need to be different. Maybe that our prayer time needs to look a little different. It's not about me, but it's about him. And so, God, what do you want? What do I need to hear? What do I need to see? What do I need to learn? And when we get connected to him, when he unleashes his power through us, what a ride it will be when God launches us out to do what he wants for us to do. Jesus says, Father, I'm the vine, my Father is the gardener. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So it all starts with a relationship, right? It all starts with a relationship with Jesus. It all starts with making him our Savior, with being connected to the vine. Because apart from that connection to the vine, there is no fruit. And so maybe today you need to repent and be baptized. Maybe today you need to get a fresh start so his power is available in your life. Maybe today you feel like you've been hanging on by a thread. The storms of life have been blowing, things have been different, and you're holding on and you're wondering, is it worth it? Do I remain? This can be so hard. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Any branch that does not bear fruit is cut off, thrown into the fire, and burned. So our options are either to bear fruit or be burned. Do we bear fruit for the glory of God, or do we allow him to put us into judgment? So maybe today it's leaning into that connection. Maybe it's beginning to put our gifts into action. Instead of sitting on what we want to do, but allowing, putting ourselves in position so that God can do in and through us what we maybe haven't even thought of or dreamt of doing. Maybe we need to pray that God would begin to multiply our gifts, multiply our abilities, multiply our opportunities so that we can be used to accomplish his mission on earth. Maybe we need to learn to give freely of our time, our talent, our treasure, that as we give to God, he can begin to multiply in ways that only he can. So he can bear fruit for his glory. Whatever next step you might need to take today, you can let us know by filling out the connection card at cchmd.com/connect. And you check those boxes, it'll get to us and we can begin to help you walk through that process. Maybe today you need to talk with someone before you leave. Maybe you need to pray with someone. I'll be in the back after the service. We can begin to pray as we begin to think about what next step you might need to take to advance in your faith journey. What is it that God might be putting in front of you? What are the obstacles that you still need to work around and develop in your faith so that God can use you to give him even greater glory? See, it's the quality of the connection to the primary source that will determine the fruit and the direction of our life. That connection is created and sustained through prayer. That's more than just words that we say. There's a quality, there's a depth, there's a significance in that time that we take with God. Are we willing to make sacrifices? Are we willing to go deeper? Are we willing to open ourselves up more so that God can do more in and through us than we have ever hoped or imagined? And so my prayer is that we would be a people that prays so that God can continue to do his work through us. Let's pray. Father, you're so good. Father, as we come before you, we desire that connection. And sometimes it's hard because we get pushed and pulled in so many different directions. That maybe we think we want this, but maybe you're leading us into something different, and maybe we're scared. Maybe we're scared of what that would look like. Maybe we're scared of what success would look like. Maybe we're scared of what bearing fruit would look like. Maybe we just want to play it safe. So Father, I pray that you would push us out on that edge. Father, you would show us what you mean by wanting abundant life for us. Father, you might produce that abundant life in us and through us, that we might bear fruit for your glory, in keeping with your character, in keeping with your integrity, in keeping with your discernment and will and desire. Father, may we begin to seek out your heart, and that the prayers we pray are the prayers you've been longing for us to pray for so many years, that you can't help and can't wait to say yes for us, say yes to us. Father, as our kids get ready to go back to school this week, Father, would you help them to be connected to you? That, Father, they might be a light in a place that might be so uncertain. And so would you help them? Would you encourage them to walk in step with you, to be a light, to help show others who Jesus is? Father, would you help them to love others well and to serve them, serve their teachers, that they might be just a bit of Jesus in their classrooms? Father, would you help us to encourage them? Father, as we go to work this week, Father, sometimes it feels like we just keep going back and keep doing the same old thing, the same old way, in the same old place. Father, help us to go back different tomorrow. With greater connection, that our light might shine a little bit brighter, that we might bring a little bit more hope, that we might bring a different quality to who we are tomorrow, this week, the weeks ahead. That we might bear fruit for you wherever we go. That was the connection that makes a difference. So would you help us to stay connected to you as we go through this week? Father, we thank you for Jesus, who died for us, who is a primary source of all that our life and all that is good. Would you help us to grow in that so that we can bear fruit for your glory? I thank you for Jesus most of all. It's in his name I pray. Amen. And we hope that you have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday.